The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Not only is this bill transformational, I hope you see that the change in Congress. Not that it just opened up People's House. I hope you saw going through this, we wanted to be very open to the American public of what we were talking about.
The Morning Answer is on.
Yes, it is. We are on, ready to go. It feels like a Monday, but oh, it's Sneaky Tuesday already here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And guys, if you have been tuning out over the weekend.
The Answer. Breaking news.
It seems we have a deal. We don't know if the deal's going through yet, but Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy announced over the weekend.
I just got off the phone with the president. I talked to him twice today. And after weeks of negotiations, we have come to an agreement in principle. We still have a lot of work to do, but I believe this is an agreement in principle that's worthy of the American people.
So where we are now, Grant, is this is a 100 pages, which is nice. Typically, these things are like 5 bazillion pages. The House of Representatives gets 3 days from the authoring of the bill to look this over. So today, the bill will be discussed in the Rules Committee. Tomorrow, possibly, it could go to a full House vote. And, well, there's a little good and a little bad in it for everybody, but at least it was the result, I guess, of a negotiation. We haven't seen that in quite a while. Usually it's a lot of Democrats pushing through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, McCarthy was in a no-win situation at this point because if he didn't hold true to the bill that the House passed, conservatives were going to be very angry with him. So he was going to lose to have to negotiate at all with Joe Biden. And so, you know, you got a lot of conservatives out there upset with the deal. And but at least we move forward now and we put this behind us. I believe the deal cut spending by 0.2% of GDP.
Yeah.
Cuts it by $50 billion. We've given $100 billion to Ukraine.
I know. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of conservatives are worried about is the unlimited amount of money that's going to Ukraine and for those sources. So Kevin McCarthy had 15% of the budget that he could play with, that he was allowed to see. Of course, conservatives and of course, most Americans don't want to see the military cut. So the military was not cut. Veterans aid was not cut. So the rest is what was on the table, essentially, to be talked about. According to McCarthy, who you'll hear from here in a few moments, he was on with Hugh Hewitt just a few moments ago. According to McCarthy, in the meetings that he had with Joe Biden, all Biden wanted was to raise taxes. And McCarthy said that that was the red line for him, that he was not going to do any, as they like to put in the bills, revenue enhancements. He wasn't going to do any new taxes. So one of the good things is that there are no new taxes. What I think a lot of people would have liked to have seen, and I'll tell you, is that those 87,000 IRS agents wiped out would have been nice. However, McCarthy did cut the funding for them for at least 1 year where that money could be put back into places like Border Patrol, could send new Border Patrol agents to the border.
Yeah, the problem is Biden's going to have to move that money to Border Patrol.
And it's going to be a tough hill.
It's going to be a total uphill slog when it comes to any of this stuff. You know, I was watching Chip Roy on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And Chip Roy, you know, look, he's a Tea Party guy, you know, he's a Freedom Caucus guy. He's kind of where I am and all this. I'm a real hardliner when it comes to this stuff. And he was saying what I said last week, which was, what if we just clawed back the COVID money?
Mm-hmm.
What if we put a pause on the 87,000 IRS agents and gave Janet Yellen's funny math at least maybe through July, which I already think we were actually there, but let her have her funny math take us through July and then sit down and have meaningful negotiations. See, Biden waited, what does McCarthy say, 90 days before he came to the table to negotiate. What if we had meaningful negotiations where we could come to a legitimate compromise And the no new taxes is huge.
It's huge.
But I will say a cut of $50 billion. Like, we throw around billions like my pillows.
I would like to say I would like to take that money if nobody wants it. I would totally be happy to take the $50 billion. But you're right. In the terms of the United States budget, it's not a huge deal. But Breitbart reporting yesterday that the debt ceiling deal that they reached, if passed and enacted, would be the largest. This is how terrible government has been. It would be the largest deficit reduction bill in American history, according to the CBO, according to the Congressional Budget Office. That tells you that our government has failed us over the years, because you're right. This is not a huge cut, but it's the biggest one in history. So we do have to give some props, I guess, for getting there.
And this is where it gets so confusing for people, because I'd like to see the math on the deficit reduction, but you have an increase in the total debt to $35 trillion by the time Biden's term ends. That's another $4 trillion on top of what we have now in just two more years. That's a lot of money.
The preliminary numbers, and by the way, the CBO, I think, should have their full report out, I think, by tomorrow, maybe even later today. But the preliminary numbers from the Congressional Budget Office, which came out yesterday, expect that the deal would amount to more than $2.12 trillion in spending cuts. So that's, you know, again, the difference between deficit reduction and where your actual cuts are coming. There you say that the deficit reduction will be $2.12 trillion. That would be huge. I mean, that would be worth celebrating. Again, it's not everything that conservatives want, but you also have a very narrow majority. Chip Roy has said he's not going to be supporting this bill. I'm sure there'll be other members of the Freedom Caucus that won't as either. But will there be enough of them that comes through? But McCarthy's new line is, if we stick together, there's more power there. So here's a little bit from Kevin McCarthy and Hugh Hewitt just a few moments ago.
Joe Biden said, no negotiations. Nobody thought you'd pull this off. I hope the conference agrees with that.
Well, the vast majority does, but there are some who wanted more. But, I mean, when you look at it and you compare it to others, think about when we had the presidency, the Senate, and the House. They raised the debt limit and spent more money. They didn't cut. We are spending less money than we spent the year before. We were able to plus up defense and the veterans, and that non-defense with not veterans is lower than it was in 2022. But we were able to do some amazing other things, though. Work requirements, meaning welfare reform, that's important to help people get a job. This is only for people with able-bodied, no dependents, and get them back into the workforce.
The work requirements are all good.
That was a good one.
It's common sense, though. I don't understand why Democrats wouldn't want you to have work requirements if you're taking money from the federal government.
According to McCarthy, in conversations I've heard with him, he said that was a huge sticking point for them, that they didn't want
it. I'm sure it was, because they want to give everybody free stuff.
Yeah. So that's why, I mean, we have to kind of understand where you are. You've got, what, a five-person majority in the House. You've got conservatives you have to appease. You have Democrats you have to negotiate with. So to come to a deal, I would say, deserves some applause. Do we want more? Yes, absolutely.
I would also offer people. Mm-hmm. Is just a warning of how Washington operates.
Yeah.
So there will be these cuts in 2023. But 2024, the spending ramps back up again.
But they have to cut by 1%, I believe. There's no more omnibus bills for at least 6 years. That's part of what they put in here, which I think also deserves a little bit of attention. Because these
but
are the things that are so sexy.
Yeah, they account for inflation.
Yeah, that's right.
Account for inflation.
And inflation.
Now, you tell me
be,
where inflation is right now.
Yeah.
It's not 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So when they tell you they have to cut, yet they have an account in there for inflation.
You're still looking at 6% maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The projected by 2053, it is projected to go from 98% of GDP in 2023, our federal debt, to 118% in 2033 of our GDP. That's an average increase of 2 percentage points each year when you account for inflation. But this is what I mean by Washington numbers. They can make anything they want work. Anything. And so, is it a deal? We don't have to worry about it. Maybe the stock market calms down a little bit, though stock market was pretty good last week, I saw.
Two more things I'll add from the environmental standpoint is that apparently, according to McCarthy, they have added a natural gas pipeline into this, which is some good news because, of course, it's better and cleaner and more efficient to have that here rather than in other countries. And part two of that is instead of having a 5-year study for every road, every new piece of infrastructure that has to be built for environmental purposes, they have it down to 1 year, 2 years if it's a certain, like if it's a huge project. So a couple of things in there. What do you think about all of this? Morning.
Isn't that great? Government now only needs 2 years.
Isn't that
to
great?
Approve a road.
Instead of
wow.
five.
I mean, what, way to go, woo! Regulators.
I'm telling you, all you have to
regulators!
Do is fire the government, bring in the private sector, and you'll be in great shape. 855-785-8255. Your thoughts on that. Plus, as we continue, a scandal brewing within the Glendale Unified School District. Jordan Henry returns to the Morning Answer to tell us all about it as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Canceling the cancel culture. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us. Oh, boy, excuse me. It's a Tuesday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinch.
Every once in a while, that cold just still kind of comes back when you least expect it. All right, we love to talk about fighters on this program. Grant, we love to talk about parents who are fighting back to take, well, more control or be a bigger part of their kids' education. And the Glendale Unified School District has been going... Well, they've been going a little nutty lately, and joining us right now is a friend of the program, former candidate for city council here in Glendale, one of those concerned parents. Jordan Henry joins us. Jordan, welcome back to the Morning Answer.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Wish it were under better circumstances. I'm going to have you dive in and tell us what's going on within the Glendale Unified School District, because a group of parents, they've gotten together. The GUSD Parents' Voices have gotten together to fight back over things like this. This is a special needs student who was in trouble because she, and I'll use air quotes here, misgendered her teacher. Take a listen to this.
I got in trouble one time for calling this girl Kenny, a girl. I said, well, she, Kenny and I used the word she when I was using my assignment because we were working together. I was also in the girls' locker room. I don't like to dress that at all, and that's not okay. Well, I got in trouble for it because I did not dress out in front of other people.
Now, Jordan, this is incredibly sad to hear.
Let's just explain what she was saying there. So she mislabeled somebody.
She, right?
Was it a teacher or a student?
That
question.
Was a student. It was a student.
Student. She mislabeled.
Friends.
And they're friends.
Student, Kenny and her are friends, and Kenny, I think that's the chosen name, doesn't mind that Thelma calls her a her. They're actually still friends about it. The school has injected themselves into that situation and made it a problem.
And then what was the changing in the locker room? What was that about?
There were male coaches in the locker room while girls were changing. And I've confirmed that that has happened in many other schools for many years in Glendale Unified. So that's why she's uncomfortable changing in the bathroom.
Yeah, I can imagine. Holy moly. So, Jordan, take us through a little bit of what the parents are most upset about with Glendale Unified School District.
Yeah, we've been working at this for a long time, and what we just played there happened 2 weeks ago. That was Thelma speaking at a city council meeting, not even at a school board meeting, because her mom didn't even know, you know, the proper channels of government to talk to about this school issue. So, yes, the school has a pronoun policy where, you know, they actually call it harassment if a student or a teacher does not use the quote-unquote preferred pronouns of a trans person on campus. Now, Thelma doesn't even understand the trans issue or pronouns or anything. She's a Christian, conservative, Hispanic. She's a special needs student. She has a brain injury. She's actually very intelligent. But she simply refuses to use these pronouns. And her teacher, she actually had a trans student aid, because she, you know, some special needs students have, you know, one-on-one student aids, and hers was trans. And she, if you continue on that video, you can go see that video online. It got millions of views. She refused to use that person's pronouns as well. That person, her, I think his name was Cam, ignored her, refused to help her anymore. She's falling behind because of this pronoun issue. She has like these therapy tools that she uses to relieve her anxiety. And, they took those away from her to retaliate against her for this pronoun issue. And then she started self-harming. So the school has denied all of this. They refused to investigate it. And we're beside ourselves with anger right now. And this just happened 2 weeks ago. We've been dealing with these issues for months, and this happened, you know, recently. So it's a firestorm right now in Glendale. I'm very upset.
I'm reading another article on Fox 11 that says this same student, and again, say with special needs, was also allegedly asked to explain various sexual acts during a health course. And that she was asked to discuss and provide definitions of these sexual acts, despite previously asking the student be excused from such topics. The mother asked that she be excused from this. So this student is right in the center of all of it.
Yes. Yeah. And she doesn't even comprehend a lot of this stuff. It's a huge problem. Since the state of California, you can opt out of, like, sex ed. You know, that's like the traditional sex ed that we all took in public schools, if you were in public school. But you cannot opt out of, you know, LGBTQIA plus cultural lessons. And so her special ed teacher told her about literal sex acts between trans people, and it really disturbed her and her mother. But she could not opt out of that. She was forced by the government to listen to the very explicit sex acts.
You know, and according to, and this made, this actually got some national news as well, looking at some of the stuff they were asking her to explain. This is stuff that even adults would not probably mention in regular conversation, even probably in barroom conversation. And because she refused, or because she was uncomfortable with this, according to her teacher, she was labeled as a bigot.
Correct. A bigot, homophobic, intolerant. Those are the words they gave a special needs student to her face.
You know, I'm always talking on this program about de-escalating. Normally, we talk about de-escalating when you're getting mugged in a convenience store or someone's wanting to carjack you. But from a superintendent's perspective, it seems to me like the school board and the superintendent did nothing to de-escalate what amounts to an absolute crisis inside their school system.
They threw gas on it.
They threw gas on it. Why? Who is the superintendent, and what is this person thinking?
Public schools in the state of California are funded, the majority of their funding comes from the state. They are beholden to uphold the state values and policies. That's what's happening here. They do not care about the local people. They do not care about the individuals. That's for sure. And they are simply signaling to Tony Thurmond up at the State Board of Ed. And the State Board of Ed put all these policies in. And we're only touching the surface right now. The thing that got people really activated here in Glendale, and I hope the rest of the state soon, is that teachers are in schools are obligated not to tell parents if a student has a different gender identity at school. Mm-hmm. They're obligated to conceal that information. And they actively do it. They have these forms where they rate parents on a scale of 1 to 10 on how affirming they are. And if they're not affirming, they discriminate against those parents. And a lot of them are Christian. A lot of them are conservative.
Jordan Henry is with us, and we're up against a break. But, Jordan, what are parents doing? What can our listeners do to support this effort?
You've got to look at your own local policies, and you've got to fight it at the local level. You've got to put pressure on your school board, because it's happening in your school. Wherever you are in California, it's there. You got to throw sand in their gears, because they're up against a rock and a hard place between the state and the community. We could go to the state level they're not going to listen to you at all. So we really got to put pressure on local school districts to change their policies, and then also lobby for us to change the law at the state level. Eventually, we need to organize as a state to do this as state parents, and we're working on that. It's just going to take a while because everyone's so busy and focused on the local level. But that is what we need to do. We need to throw these people out of power. We need to reinsert ourselves, and we need to have a little civil disobedience. Because that is the problem. The state is an authoritarian government raining terror upon these individuals, these children in our schools.
Where do people keep in touch with you, Jordan?
I have an Instagram, and it's Henry for Glendale, the number 4, Henry for Glendale.
Check him out. Then, Henry for Glendale on Instagram and on Twitter?
Irrational Henry. On Twitter.
Very good. Jordan Henry, thanks so much for fighting and for keeping up the fight for kids here in Glendale and really across the whole region and in the state of California. We appreciate you. Thanks for being with us. Keep us posted. As we continue, we've got a little 2024 update. Some of the presidential candidates chiming in on the agreement between Republicans and Democrats over the debt ceiling. The details as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Freedom of speech lives here. It's the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Yes, it is. And we thank you for joining us on a Tuesday, even though it feels like a Monday here on the Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
Hope you had a meaningful Memorial Day weekend. I know, Grant, you went out and saw the Heat and Celtics play, and you actually didn't see the game winner. You saw the Celtics almost come back, right? I mean, they won the game.
What a game. We were in Miami, and my son and I, Miami would keep getting close, and then Boston would pull away. And Miami was up, 3-1 at the time.
Slipping away.
and then this last second shot, I mean, I don't know if anybody saw it, but it's one of the all-time greatest buzzer beaters probably in NBA history.
Wow.
It's a fallaway three-pointer. That ball bounces any other way away from the Celtics. The Miami Heat goes to the NBA Finals, which they are now anyway after winning last night. But it was a hell of a game. The biggest challenge for my son and I, though, it got out late about midnight, was getting an Uber back to the hotel. It was about an hour, we were hiking through Miami to get out of traffic that they had closed down. Oh, man, that was...
So it was a disaster.
Disaster trying to get out of there. But overall, what a great trip. I hope everybody else had a great Memorial Day weekend.
Mine was so low-key, but I saw a movie. You have got to go. You will actually, and I don't normally recommend movies because I wouldn't recommend a movie because I don't think we have the same, well, maybe we do. We like both. We like the crime series. But do you know who Sebastian Maniscalco? I don't even know him. Maniscalco is?
No.
He's a comedian who I had never heard of before. I had purchased Guardians of the Galaxy tickets for the wrong day, so I had to get a refund, and his movie was the only one that was available at the right time, so they just exchanged tickets, and it's called About My Father with Robert De Niro.
Mm.
Conservatives, note to you, because I know it's hard to find like comedy movies that actually appeal to us that aren't crazy and woke and all this stuff. This is a great movie. About My Father, great movie. De Niro is fabulous. So then I looked into Sebastian Maniscalco because I'd never heard of him before. Mm-hmm. And I see that Sebastian Gorka follows him. I see that Prager U follows him.
Wow.
And I was like, what did I just stumble onto here? Apparently, this is a guy who is like a really famous comedian. I'm sorry I'm late to the party. He's got Netflix specials and everything, but he has made it a point not to do politics. He doesn't do them. He kind of calls out like woke culture. The left still loves him. He hosted the VMAs, but he doesn't do politics, which makes him a conservative.
Yeah, it's great. Guardians of the Galaxy was great, too, by the way.
Did you see it?
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
I want to see it. Yeah, but that was my intention, but I'm so glad I stumbled on. And it's all about this guy's Italian dad. The reason I think you would love it is his Italian dad, like a hardworking guy, came from Sicily, and now he's in love with a woman who is the daughter of a senator and a hotel heir, basically. And so he thinks his Italian dad's embarrassing him. And it's very sweet. It's a cute story.
That's very cool.
Anyway, you were saying something else and I interrupted you.
Well, there was a military air show over the beach in South Beach, Miami.
You're like, oh, talk about your stupid movie. Here's the military air show.
No, I wanted to hear about the movie. I will certainly go consider seeing it. But the military air show was really something else, and it was today's planes.
Oh.
So I would urge everyone to go to my Instagram, Stinchfield1776. I put together a video. I edited it together. And it's a nice little tribute, Memorial Day tribute piece. And I'm not a plane buff, so mm-hmm. I don't know quite, but I think there were F-16s, F-35s. You had B-1s. Then you had some helicopters. You had all kinds of planes.
That's cool.
And doing some amazing things. It was very, very impressive.
If you haven't been to an air show, and I am not an air show person, or I didn't think I would be. They're really cool. I used to go to the Chino Air Show all the time. We actually broadcast a few shows from there. It's incredible. It's so fun. And it feels very patriotic.
To watch an F-35 or whatever they were, these fighter planes.
They're powerful.
Come right down below the beach, you know, and it's very crowded on Memorial mm-hmm. Day. So I was pretty sure I could feel the heat from the jets.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but I really felt like I could. And then to watch them go straight up in the air like a rocket ship.
Yep.
And then come, oh, boy, I'll tell you what, it's just impressive to watch. And it makes you just so proud that we have the military that we do.
Looking at you, Vladimir Putin, you feel the heat of that?
Mm-hmm.
President Xi, Chairman Xi, feel the heat?
Exactly.
All right, let's jump in.
Battle lines are being drawn. Election 2024. It's heating up. Here is your 2024 election update.
Well, let's take a look at some polling in California, shall we, about the presidential race? Stinch, good news for Donald Trump, who was trailing very heavily Ron DeSantis in the Golden State, in our state, gosh, back in January, I believe. That is no longer the case. He has taken a double-digit lead among California Republicans in the 2024 primary race. This is according to that UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies survey we've been talking about with Dianne Feinstein. Well, now we've got some presidential news from it as well. Trump has a double-digit lead over Ron DeSantis. He leads him by 18 points in California. Trump has 44% support and 26% support Ron DeSantis. So, easy for me to say. So 44 for Trump if you need subtitles, 26 for DeSantis.
Why is it that so many Never Trumpers are constantly telling me that people are sick of Trump?
I know, that he can't win.
He can't win. I mean, he's got a 20-point lead over DeSantis.
In California, where DeSantis literally, I think, if I call in 855-785-8255, if you think I'm wrong on this one, but I can swear I saw a poll in January where DeSantis was ahead over Trump by a pretty sizable number.
I don't remember that poll. Not saying it didn't happen. I don't remember that.
There was a few polls in early voting states. In California is one of those. Now, we vote on first Tuesday in March, that showed that DeSantis was doing almost too good over Donald Trump. And now that is all switched. Now, other candidates were considered in the survey as well. Nikki Haley, Tim Scott. But no one in the poll receives more than 4% support except for Trump and DeSantis. So you're seeing these two kind of come out now. Oh, here we go. Look, 3 months ago, DeSantis held an 8-point lead among California Republicans. See?
Wow, there you go. Look at
that. The old brain still works. 37% supported DeSantis, 29% supported Trump. That has changed.
I think the reason why this is important is because they're California voters.
Yes.
That's going to be, when you talk about California Republicans, many of them, not all of them, certainly, we can go to certain areas where they're very strong conservatives, but many of them are what I would call moderate Republicans, mm-hmm. squishy, a little squishy.
Squishy, yeah.
And so if even the squishy Republicans are leaning towards Trump in an overwhelming fashion right now.
Well, and can I also
pretty good.
Can I also create this message to California Republicans who are trying to get crafty? Don't go out and waste your vote on Joe Biden or Marianne Williamson or Robert Kennedy, because we vote early. We have such an electoral vote load that if you hand those votes to someone that you're not interested in casting your vote for. So if you are a Trump person and you think, well, I'll be just shifty and vote for Robert Kennedy, That's going to matter. The load of California may knock a DeSantis or a Trump out of the race if they don't pick it up, depending on how the early voting states go. So take that for what it's worth. Don't throw away your vote. Don't be shady. Just vote your heart. 855-785-8255. You like that advice?
I like it. It's very, very good advice.
Good advice, right? Yes. You're going to vote your heart, aren't you?
I always vote my heart.
All right. A guy who always votes his heart as well, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, will join us with his take on the new debt ceiling bill. It's being tossed around. Maybe a vote tomorrow as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Breaking news and expert commentary. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us on your Tuesday Morning Answer. All recovered from Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully you had a meaningful one. I'm Jennifer Horn.
I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And joining us right now, you know what that song means. Time to welcome in our friend, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Give him a follow at Seb Gorka on all the social media platforms. SebastianGorka.substack.com, SebGorkaStore.com, and of course, America First every single day, 12 noon on AM 870, 8 p.m., AM 590, The Answer, and on Newsmax, Gorka Reality Check, 4 p.m. on Sundays, West Coast time. Dr. G, we're going to have to shrink your bio. Whew.
Can you be my press secretary?
You know I've already volunteered for that position in case you get any crazy ideas.
You are good.
I expect to be front on the list in case like a governor role ever opens up for you, you know.
And you can pronounce Mnuchin, right?
Munchkin, I think Munchkin. Is how they say
Munchkin.
He does look like a Munchkin.
He does. But I mean, to be fair, we're referring to Karine Jean-Pierre, who last week called Steven Mnuchin Munchkin. So, you know, there's that. Speaking of the White House, Seb, House Republicans and the Biden administration struck a deal over the weekend. Kevin McCarthy has been everywhere. He was on with Hugh Hewitt this morning. We have heard his perspective, to be sure. We've heard some angry Democrats. We've also heard people like Chip Roy on the right who are not necessarily inclined to vote for this bill. But Jim Jordan and others say that this is a good deal and that there's strong support within the conference. What do you think, Dr. G, about the debt ceiling agreement?
You know, I'm torn because I think he's right. I think Speaker McCarthy is right. There's nothing in it that you should be angry about. But we didn't get everything we want. And on top of that, we shouldn't be talking about, you know, $31 trillion of debt anyway.
Oh, so I know.
This is the insanity. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm happy you're only cutting off one of my legs, I guess.
You know, real quick before Grant jumps in, it's the exact same thing I said this morning, Seb. When you realize the failure of government for decades in this country, the fact that this is going to be the biggest cut in deficit, the biggest deficit reducer in our history, that's ridiculously crazy. I mean, I guess it's good, but it's also really nuts that this has to be it.
Agreed.
So, Dr. G, you know, one of the things I was listening to Chip Roy say on Fox News, which is something that I brought up last week, which, you know, this whole bill seems kind of like Washington as usual. We knew it would come spending. We knew that the government was going to be spending all kinds of money in the end. And so here we go again. And at least it's over now. We could put it behind us. But, you know, Chip Roy raised a good point that he says, all right, if we would have clawed back some of the COVID money, we'd put a pause on the 87,000 IRS agents, throw that money back into the bucket, give McCarthy and Biden a couple more months to negotiate a real deal instead of trying to hammer something out in a few days with a deadline that, you know, I don't trust Janet Yellen, so I'm not even convinced the deadline was real. Maybe it could have given us some more time, but then in the end, part of me says, all right, well, it's over. Let's just move on and fight a new topic now.
Yeah, I'm not interested in anything Chip Roy says. He's a fraud, he's a hack, he's a liar. His attitude on January 6th and President Trump, you know, quote me somebody else, Grant, who's actually not a fraud like Chip Roy. But at the end of the day, you know, another deal would have been another Washington compromise.
Now, one thing that Kevin McCarthy did make news on this morning, he said it both on Fox and Friends and with Hugh Hewitt, is he said that if Christopher Wray does not produce the document that James Comer is looking for, that he will hold him in contempt, that he is not above the law. And I'm excited. We know that Comer has been doing a lot to investigate the Biden family. They've been looking for this document from the FBI that they're told that it exists. Christopher Wray has been stonewalling. So today is the deadline to see if he'll turn in that document.
Yeah, this is a much, much bigger story. I mean, you know, seriously, this is bigger than the $31
trillion. Huge.
When we have a whistleblower, a confidential source, provide documentation that the current president was involved in a pay-to-play where literally U.S. policy was changed because he received, you know, a suitcase of cash or a wire or whatever it was. And when the Oversight Committee of Congress requests from the Federal Bureau of Investigations that document, and the head of Legislative Affairs, of course, doesn't do this without the say of Wray, says, sorry, we're not getting it to you. It means that we effectively have zero oversight, none, zero oversight of the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world. They don't care about Congress. So, no, this, you know, contempt of Congress should be the least of Christopher Wray's worries.
Do you fear that that document in question may be destroyed by now?
I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, you know, this is an agency that for 7 years has persecuted President Trump and anyone who worked for him. So the idea that, look, let's be very clear. We had a DOJ lawyer who falsified, took a CIA document that said Carter Page is a good guy, he's helping the CIA, literally got some white out, forged it and said, no, he's working for the Russians. Now, that's a felon. That guy should be in prison. That guy didn't do it by himself. I'm sorry. That lowly DOJ lawyer didn't do that by himself. He was ordered by somebody to do that. So anything is possible, Grant, anything.
This is, I think, such an important issue. The FBI, we've now called into question some of our top law enforcement in the land. And it's not necessarily the agents in all cases. Sometimes it is. But the highest levels of the FBI have become so corrupt. I've been listening to so many candidates. I think, Seb, you want to just get rid of the FBI, right? And I think Grant says the same thing. I think we can do it in other places. I'm with you. If we can realistically get rid of it, great. If we can't, the highest levels need to go. I've been really curious to listen to what DeSantis has said in the race, because I think what lost him so much support early on is when he didn't come out hard to protect President Trump, as all of these things were coming at him, Alvin Bragg and all these other things, and he kind of laughed at it. Have you heard enough from Ron DeSantis? I mean, he seems to say, well, we need to make big changes at the FBI. All the other candidates do. But I think it's even more than that.
Yeah, look, he's going to be hobbled by his need to get reelected. This is what I tell everybody. Mm-hmm. Forget all the other issues. The reason I am supporting my former boss and voting for him is because there's only one person out of the 330 million in America who can only serve one term.
Me too.
As president. It's mm-hmm. President Trump. Everybody else can serve two terms, from Nikki Haley to DeSantis to, you know, Jabba the Hutt, Chris Christie. They can serve two terms.
And they'll all be running for re-election from the minute they get in there.
You know, day one, they will want to get re-elected. So the idea that any one of them will come in and dissolve the FBI and reform the CIA, I don't buy it, because they want to get reelected. That's why it has to be President Trump. So whatever Ron says, and by the way, I don't think he can recover from what he did the Monday after the Bragg indictments were leaked, where he's, I don't know about hush money for porn star, ha ha, and I don't care about this issue. I got stuff to focus on in Florida, where in fact President Trump is a resident of Florida. I don't think there's any recovering from that for Ron.
Yeah, he missed the mark.
Yeah, he sure did. I tend to agree with you. We were just talking about polling numbers here in California, which President Trump is up big, which really I think actually is a good sign across the country. If you want to look at squishy Republicans, and the sign that when we keep being told nobody supports President Trump, and I keep looking at all the polls, and everybody seems to be supporting President Trump.
Yeah. Just to fill you in on that survey, Seb, I'm not sure if you saw it, but here in California, and, you know, we're during the primaries or during presidential years, we're an early voting state. We vote the first week of March. DeSantis was beating Trump by 8 points just in February. By May 17th, when this survey was done, Trump is up by 18 points in California.
Wow. Who did that survey? Is that somebody we trust?
That's actually the Berkeley study where I talked about with you on Friday, with the one that worried about Dianne Feinstein and whether she should go or not.
Oh, yes.
The UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies, and it just came out May 17th. So DeSantis up by 8 on February 14th and Trump up by 18 May 17th. There's been a shift, definitely a shift in the party.
Send that to me and I will quote you on my show later today.
I'll send it to you right now. All right. And I will be with you tomorrow. And of course, you can listen to America First today, 12 noon on AM 870, 8 p.m. AM 590, The Answer. Check out everything at SebGorka.com and at SebGorka on all the social media platforms. Dr. G, thanks. Have a great week.
Have a good one, guys. God bless you and the listeners.
You too. Thanks, all right. As we continue, well, we've got an update for you from the Crime Blotter here in California. Big shooting over the weekend at Home Depot, and of course, the MTA in the crosshairs once again. The details as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.